In a world overrun with formula movies and lame Hollywood reboots, two brothers from separate mothers scour the outer edges of entertainment to separate the potential cult classics from the B-movie bombs. They watch the films so you don't have to. They are the Keepers of the Fringe. Children, and welcome to the Keepers of the Fringe. I'm Derek, and with me, as always, is the Freddy to my Jason, the Pinhead to my Chucky, the Leatherface to my Michael Myers, Chris.
Hello, girls and ghouls.
As you can hear, we're having a special Halloween episode.
And it will all be taped like this.
It's tempting, but
aren't you lucky?
Yeah. Anyway.
Oh my god, Jews. I just wanted to see what that sounded like. Oh my god.
All right, that's enough of that.
Okay.
Anyway, as I said, this is... We took last week off, but we're back, and this is the episode we're recording right before Halloween, so happy Halloween, everybody.
Happy Halloween.
Yay. So we'll have all kinds of fun Halloween goodies, treats for you, and maybe some tricks, too.
Oh,
oh, is your mom coming?
Anyway,
sorry about that. Couldn't resist that.
All right, well, let's start off the evening by entering the trailer park.
Well, I was gonna try to do it scary, but I don't know. Well, rednecks are scary, so
yeah, they are.
Ding, 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 ding.
Help! All right, so we have two trailers to talk about this evening. And the first one is a movie. called... What the fuck is it? Oh, All the Creatures Were Stirring. And it is a Christmas horror film that's also an anthology film. And we watched a trailer, and it was a trailer.
Yes, it looks very lo-fi.
Yeah. Of course, one of the big lines out of it was, "I can't wait to watch you all die."
That's how I feel about the world.
You're gonna burn.
So here's a synopsis of the film. Ho ho ho. Oh, I'm sorry. It's ho ho. No.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. The joyful spirit of the holidays is about to take one dark turn after another. From sadistic office parties and last-minute shopping nightmares to vengeful stalkers and immortal demons, there's plenty out there to keep you from getting out of bed to see what's under the tree this holiday season.
You know the only problem I have, though?
What?
Is that, you know how we always complain about before Halloween, they're already doing Christmas shit? That's what you're doing right now.
No, this is Halloween. This is... Shut up. So this movie was written and directed by first-time filmmakers David Ian McKendry and Rebecca Kendry, and it is releasing in theaters on December 4th.
Mm.
And we'll be sure to, skip that one.
Gary.
No, I mean, it looked kind of...
Yeah, it looked like it might be fun. It looked like it had maybe some funny moments going on there.
Yeah, and I like that it's a an anthology. That's kind of fun.
I always enjoy those.
Yeah, those are always fun. So, you know, maybe we'll see it someday. Who knows?
Yeah, we'll keep an ear out. See, I'm sure it's probably not going to be playing, like, wide release or anything.
I'm sure, yeah. So, I guess I'll move on from the Christmas stuff to the next trailer, which is interesting. And that's for a movie called
Death House.
And this one's kind of interesting in that they're calling it the Expendables of the horror genre, because basically it has a shit ton of horror people.
Yeah, it's got like Kane Hodder and Sid Haig.
Yeah,
and Tony Todd.
Yeah,
Michael Berryman.
Yeah,
Barbara Crampton.
Yes, yeah, that's right. Dee Wallace is in it.
Dee Wallace. There's a whole shitload of people. It was really fast, though. Some of them I was like,
I know, yeah. But what did you think of how it looked other than that?
Well, to be honest, if they weren't all in it, I probably wouldn't give it a shit.
Right, yeah.
But the fact that they all are in it.
That's kind of a catch. However, The Expendables was meh.
Yeah.
Not as good as I was hoping.
The idea of it sounded cool.
The idea is awesome. But yeah, the execution.
Not so much.
Was a little lacking, yes. So this film is directed by Harrison Smith, who co-wrote the movie with the late Gunnar Hansen.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. And the movie's coming out on video on demand platforms starting November 6th and will be arriving on DVD, no Blu-ray, just over a month later on December 11th.
Hmm.
Coming from Cleopatra Entertainment.
Ooh, we'll have to maybe catch that one.
Yeah, maybe we'll catch it for the show.
Could be.
Mm. Although it'll probably be more. I know a lot of them. You got any gum? Oh, sorry.
You got any gum?
if not necessarily, like I know, like I don't. You know what I'm trying to say?
I think so.
Like I know Kane. I know who Kane Hodder is. I know who Sid Haig is. I know these people. I'm not a big horror
person. But you know.
But I do know these. I know these names and everything. And I mean, I've seen some of their stuff.
Yeah. I mean, Kane Hodder is like.
Thanks to you, man.
I think he's the most famous Jason, but.
Yeah.
But he was Jason in all the shitty ones. So I have a mixed feelings about that.
Yeah, well.
And I've heard mixed things. I knew somebody that met him, and she said he was a real dick.
Oh, really?
But this was a long time ago,
that
so.
That sucks.
He might have just been having an off night or something.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
Take my advice, pal. Quit while you're ahead.
So, so we might. That one we might be able to check out for the show. Who knows? No promises, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see. All right, so that's going to do it for the trailer park this week. So now we're going to leave the trailer park.
Do I do music on the way out?
Yeah, you did last time.
I should do it in reverse. What the fuck? I did a donkey noise. I don't know what the hell. We'll have to work on that.
So, are you saying the reverse of the redneck yeehaw? All right, so let's move on to our next story, shall we?
It's all Halloween-y and scary.
And actually appropriate because our next story is about Jason Voorhees. and the Friday the 13th franchise. And so basketball star LeBron James has started his own film company, interestingly enough. And one of the things he wants to do with his film company is possibly reboot the Friday the 13th horror franchise.
Yeah, I heard he's like a really big fan.
Yes, a really, really big fan. Really big. In fact, he tweeted out, Friday the 13th, Jason Voorhees is one of my favorites. Still don't understand how he caught people running and he just walked, though. I'll joke there.
No one's ever wondered that.
So, what do you think? I mean,
did you ever see Behind the Mask?
No, I didn't.
It was like a film crew following a up-and-coming serial killer.
Oh, really?
So they would follow him around, and he would explain how all the tricks were done. Like you said, like, you have to do an insane amount of cardio so you can, like, look like you're walking after them, and then and then you have to fucking run and then and be able to stop and look like you're just... It was pretty good.
That's awesome.
It was a pretty good one. But yeah, no, I think it, I mean, I don't know what his take would be on it. And
no, I don't either. But, I mean, he's a fan, so that's at least a plus.
Yeah, and I'd like to see a new one. I mean, I pulled my headphones out. There we go. Yeah, the remake, I didn't like it at all.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know what it is, because the kids are always suck, but I mean, they have to be likable on some level.
Right.
And the ones in the remake were just, I couldn't stand any of them.
Yeah, they were real
shit. Even the ones I was supposed to like, I'm just like, oh my God, please kill them. So they have to find a perfect balance. I don't know what it is.
Right, right.
But the movies all have, like, it's like an after school teen like drama thing. And then it just happens to be a guy that randomly slaughters them every once in a while. But they kind of have like ongoing storylines within their own little clique. And then one of them just doesn't show up anymore. And they're like, where's Tina?
And they usually get killed while having sex.
Yeah.
So it's always, I mean, that's the stereotype, but it's not always like that, right?
It's a lot. It's more than not, I'd say.
But so you'd be up for that?
Yeah.
At least give it a shot, right? We'll see what, you know, see what comes out of it, but
yeah, I'd like to see it.
Could be cool.
I would kind of like to see if they could keep it in the same continuity, even though he's in the last real one, he was in space. I don't know. But they jumped way ahead in time.
I did see that one.
You did? Yeah.
Yeah. The,
so.
I don't know if I saw it with you or not, but.
I don't know.
Because I saw it in the theater.
You did?
Yeah.
Jason X? Yep. We saw Hellraiser in space. You sure not thinking of that one?
Nope. I know we saw Hellraiser in space. Why did they all?
They all go to space.
Jason, Hellraiser, Leprechaun.
And the Leprechaun. I don't know, man. But since that was like a humongous time leap, you could do a lot of stuff.
Maybe
there.
I didn't see that one, the Jason one in the theater. Maybe I saw it on video. I don't remember. But I did see it. I did not enjoy it.
Yeah, I didn't like it at first, but I can appreciate it now. But when I first saw it, I was like, this is fucking terrible. But it is terrible, but it is kind of fun, too.
Yeah.
Cyborg Jason,
yeah. What were they thinking?
Yeah.
I know what they were thinking.
He's alive! All
right, so I'm down for it. I mean, I don't know. I don't know about the reboot. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a thing. But I don't know. They almost would have to, I would think.
Yeah, well, after Freddy versus Jason's really the last one.
Oh, right. That one we went to the theater to see.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah, most of it was good, I think.
I don't know. They never show that one. I never see it on, like, TV or anything. Maybe because of the rights, I don't know.
No, it was just fun. The other day I saw it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. All right. Well, let's move on to our next story then.
Okay.
And speaking of reboots, there is a plan in the works to reboot another 80s movie, and this one is Night of the Comet.
I love Night of the Comet.
I was going to ask about that.
Have you seen it?
I don't know. I don't think I have.
One of the stars follows us on Twitter.
Ooh.
That little shout out there. Probably has no idea who the fuck we are, but it's pretty cool.
In that case, I guess I'll have to see Night of the Comet.
Yeah, that used to be one of my favorites when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Not bad.
It came out in 1984. It's a sci-fi comedy. And it has influenced many people, such as Joss Whedon and many others. And it looks like it is going to be rebooted by Orion Pictures, and they have tapped Roxanne Benjamin to write the remake, and not sure about this one. It says it's going to, might be ditching some of the comedy, and will skew more toward the sci-fi side of things.
Well, the whole, remember the whole Halley's Comet thing when that came around?
Yep.
And they always make, you know, movies off shit like that.
Hell yeah, yeah.
That was it. Everybody was sitting there going, waiting to watch the comet, and it came into the atmosphere, and like when it passed by, like,
right,
it was fucking like disintegrated everybody.
Yep.
Or instead of whoever were left were like fucking weird mutants.
Yeah.
And there was a couple of teenage girls and like,
right,
that survived because one of them was sleeping with her boyfriend in like a movie theater, and they were like in the projection room, and they were protected for some reason. And
I don't think I've seen that. It doesn't sound familiar.
It's a good one.
The original, written by Tom Eberhard, also directed. Yeah. So, how do you feel about that? Them doing a remake of that?
I don't know. I don't. Well, it's weird because, like, in the '80s, they just had like they could get away with things that didn't make sense.
Mm.
Like, this makes no sense that the comet goes by. It just neutralizes everybody. The 80s, there was a certain level of ignorance that was low you could get away with.
Yeah. It was more acceptable.
Yeah, I don't know how they would do it, but...
And then it sounds like if they're going to take away some of the comedy and try to make it more sci-fi, that sounds even less like it would work.
Well, like, it wasn't, it was funny-ish, but it wasn't, like, a straight-out comedy.
Right, yeah.
But the girls were pretty funny and...
Interesting.
I don't know. I would watch it. I don't know if it's necessary, but...
Right.
I'm not 100%, I'm not, like, against it, I guess.
It'd be kind of interesting to watch both and compare them.
Yeah.
I don't know, we'll see. We'll see what happens with that one. But I definitely want to check out the original one at some point.
Yeah, we could watch that.
Yeah.
You could put that in Shit D Needs to See.
Exactly, yeah. So, cool. We'll put that one on the list. But now it's time to move on to a special segment. So let's do that. So, in honor of Halloween, I found an article online that lists the 50 greatest horror films of all time. Mm. So, I thought we'd go through this list and you could give me your thoughts on them.
I hope I've seen most of them.
We'll see. If you haven't, well, that'll be easy.
Yeah.
We'll just skip right over it.
A lot of, like, foreign stuff I'm not really up on.
There isn't... I think this is pretty much all American stuff.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. All right. Ready? Number 50, The Conjuring.
Yeah. Next? No.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's okay, I think, but I don't think it's nearly as great as everybody says. I don't think it was scary.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a bad movie, but...
Yeah. But just not great. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Did you see it?
No, I didn't see it. Oh. I'm not really interested in that one.
Yeah.
All right. Number 49, Reanimator.
Oh, I love that movie.
That one we watched, I think that might have been before we started the podcast.
Yeah, I think so.
I think so. That was good, though. That was.
Yeah, it should be higher than 49.
I know, right? See? This is what I wanted to hear.
God damn it. Well, it depends on what else is on the list, but I don't know.
Well,
it shouldn't be Conjuring and Reanimator. It shouldn't even be anywhere near the Conjuring.
Yeah, yeah. Well, all right. Number 48, Pumpkinhead.
Reanimator should be higher than fucking Pumpkinhead.
Really? You yeah. think so? You think so?
Pumpkinhead's okay, but...
I've never seen it.
Has Lance Henriksen in it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
His little boy dies, and then he makes a pact with a weird voodoo woman, and he becomes... It raises a pumpkin head. From it's like this weird, huge fucking... Like, Stan Winston, I think, made it.
Yeah, they have a picture of it here.
Yeah, but as it kills to get revenge, Lance Henriksen becomes Pumpkinhead.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's weird. Hmm. It was pretty good, but I mean... Reanimator should be...
It's no Reanimator.
No Reanimator.
All right. 47. It Comes at Night.
Oh, actually, I did see that. Yeah. That's like new, right?
I think so, yeah. It says it's a post-apocalyptic family drama.
I liked it. I heard mixed stuff about it.
Yeah.
It's kind of a slow burn there.
Yeah.
But it has some generally creepy fucking moments. Like, really? The son keeps having dreams. And just the dreams he's having are, like, kind of unnerving a little bit. Like, ooh.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, I thought it was pretty good. But I've heard a lot of negative about it. But,
yeah. Well,
Reanimator should be.
I was going to say, they put it higher than Reanimator.
Yeah.
All right, so I was wrong. There are some foreign films here. This next one is a Persian film called Under the Shadow.
Ooh.
Never saw it. Okay, that's 46.
I'm just going to go out on a limb and say Reanimator should be higher, but.
All right, number 45, Eraserhead.
Huh. Surprise. I don't. Well, I mean, it's kind of a horror. I don't know. I wouldn't really think of it as a horror movie, really. But, well, I mean, it's pretty fucked up.
They did say they almost didn't include it on the list because it's not a traditional horror film.
Yeah. And I have kind of, I'm not a big David Lynch fan, really.
Yeah.
Just because I'm like, I don't
know. I'm kind of mixed on David Lynch. I don't know.
I really love The Elephant Man, which he directed.
Yeah.
And I do like Eraserhead. That was a good one.
I don't think I've seen Eraserhead.
It's fucking weird, but all of his movies are weird, so.
Yeah, which sometimes works and sometimes doesn't.
Yeah, sometimes it's...
For me.
It's a little too hard to penetrate, and I'm like, I don't know what you're going for me here, man.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know what you're doing, what you're going for.
If you're just doing weird just for the sake of weird.
Yeah, sometimes.
Sometimes feels a little borderline.
Yeah.
Right? So...
But that's probably my second favorite David Lynch movie.
After Elephant Man?
Yeah.
All right, number 44, Ginger Snaps.
Oh.
It says it's a Canadian film about two sisters who encounter a werewolf.
Yeah, and it's kind of sort of about becoming a woman, like coming into their womanhood, like a subtext of that.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Was
what
it?
I remember. Yeah. I'm not really familiar with that one. I have seen it, but I haven't watched it like multiple times or anything.
Right.
But we had a buddy that was really into that series.
Oh, yeah. All right. So that was 44. 43. Ah, one of your favorites. Fright Night.
Fright Night.
The original.
I love Fright Night.
I know you do.
Yeah.
I should give it another chance one of these days.
Yeah. Did you watch it with your wife?
No.
Oh.
I watched it on my own, but I did fall asleep.
Yeah.
But that's not necessarily the movie's fault.
It's a good flick.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
Yeah.
And that and Reanimator should be higher than
like it says, best for fans of vampires, the real ones, not the sparkly ones.
Yeah, it's probably one of my favorite vampire movies, for sure.
All right. Number 42, The Sixth Sense.
Mm.
It was good.
Yeah.
And as the first... real Shyamalama Ding Dong film. It was good. The twist was good because it was unexpected.
Yeah.
That
totally got me. I didn't see that at all. I was like, what?
Yeah, me too, yeah.
Like, I could have swore somebody talked to him. Then you watch it like, no, they didn't.
Yeah. So that was interesting. It's a good movie.
Yeah.
But
I don't know.
I'm guessing you would put Reanimator and Fright Night above it.
I would.
These are your standards right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's good, but I don't know. Mm. See, after the twist, after you know that. I mean, I have seen it after knowing it, but I don't think, you know.
Yeah.
So much hinges on that, I think. I mean, it's still a good movie, but.
Right. But once you know it, it's, yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of takes something away from it. I haven't seen it in a long time.
Yeah, me either. Mm. All
right, so that was 42. Number 41, number 41 is Creep.
Creep. Creep was good.
Yeah?
Is it? Well, there's actually, I think there's like two movies called Creep that I'm not sure. There's one that I was, there's one about they follow this guy who's like documenting this guy.
That's this one.
Okay. Yeah, I really liked that one. I thought it was good.
Was it?
I think it's on Netflix, I think. Creep 1 and 2.
Oh, no kidding.
I like the first one a little better, though, but... Oh,
that goes without saying.
But it's kind of like, not found footage, but the hand... The,
right, yeah.
But it's done well. I thought it was good.
Oh, cool.
I don't know if that means anything. Yeah.
All right, number 40. Oh, The Fly.
Fly.
1986 version. With one of the greatest actors of all time, Jeff Goldblum.
Yes. Wow, that's... I love that fucking movie.
I have seen that one.
That's such a great
movie. It is.
And it is a remake.
It's hell, but it's great.
Yeah. I love that fucking movie.
Yeah, it's number 40.
I think I need a bump up on 3 now.
Yeah, I know, right? All right. Number 39, The Omen.
Omen.
76 version.
It's a good flick.
Mm. Not better than The Fly.
Well, I don't know. I remember as a kid, they used to show the commercials. There's a part where, I can't remember what his damn name is, but he plays like a newsman or something in the movie. And there's like a sheet of glass that comes flying at him and cuts his head off. And there's like a slow-mo like head roll on
it. In the commercial?
Yeah. Like as a kid, I used to be like, oh, fuck. That shit used to, like religious horror stuff used to freak me out when I was a kid.
No, yeah.
It is a good film. Gregory Peck.
It's a classic, yeah.
Yeah.
Ah, number 38, Hereditary.
Hmm.
Have you seen that one?
Yes.
Better than The Omen? The Fly?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what's making me nervous, because I'm like, what's on the front end of this list?
Yeah.
But Hereditary, I mean,
I've heard it was decent.
Yeah, I've heard like it wasn't scary, though. I don't know.
Really?
I have to see it again, really. Because people said, you know, it's the scariest thing since Exorcist or something.
People are always
don't say that.
Shit like that. Yeah.
And then I'm expecting that. Something.
Don't say The Fifth Element is this generation's Star Wars. Don't say things like that. Just
don't compare things.
Because you automatically puts it at, you know.
Yeah, the expectations. That, yeah. It. I mean, as a family drama, I mean, it was pretty heavy shit.
Oh, really?
But then they brought in some elements later that, to me, just felt like it didn't really fit. It just felt like a kind of a left field. I mean, they were laying groundwork during the film.
Right.
But when you find out what's going on, I was just like,
Kind of like Get Out, how it was going a certain way, and then it was like, when you find out what happens, for me, it was...
Sort of like that. Like
for me, it was a little too...
Yeah,
it like went the, a little too...
Brain swappy left, thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like,
It's not... The same thing, but it's that kind of same feeling, like
right, yeah. Because I was loving Get Out up until that point, and even then, I still liked it. But I was like, that's a little too far for me.
Like if it was a Twilight Zone episode, totally would have flown with it. Totally would have went with it.
Although, consequently, Jordan Peele is now doing Twilight Zone, so
that makes sense.
Maybe that was his test.
Yeah,
there.
Like this one, it definitely has some. Creepy visuals, like some couple of things that will definitely like stick in my head, like oh shit.
Yeah.
So
no kidding.
Huh. It's good for that. But it's way too early to be putting that shit above Reanimator or Fly, Fright Night, or fucking The Omen.
Well then let's move on. Number 37, The House of the Devil.
That was a pretty good one too.
Yeah, it was
actually. Yeah. They kind of did it in like a 70s style.
Yes, they're calling it a love letter to 70s horror.
Yeah.
Basically.
Like satanic cult thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a pretty good one. But Well, you know, not as good as
the previously aforementioned.
Where does this list come from?
A site called Urbo, U-R-B-O.
Urbo?
Yeah, I don't know what the hell
it is. I've never heard of them.
Me either. In which they put at number 36, Return of the Living Dead. Which that is one that you did show me.
That was another one of my favorites.
That's a good one, yeah. That was a good one. That one, that was an interesting one. It's,
Love that one.
Yeah. It's very 80s, though.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun, though.
Yeah, it is. I like that about
it. It's kind of like there with Evil Dead 2, like, on the fun level for me.
Right, right, yeah. Yeah, it is, yeah. But, Better Than the Fly? The Omen?
Yeah, I don't know.
Fright Night? Maybe better than Reanimator, but...
I don't know.
Not that much better.
That's a tough one on
it's
all
on of par, them. I'd say, at least.
Yeah, they should all be higher. That's all I do know, though.
Well, all right. Number 35 is It, the 2017 version.
You know what's weird? I do like it, but I've watched it a couple times. The more I watch it...
It falls apart a little?
Well, I kind of like it a lot less.
Yeah?
Because I watched it with my niece. Oh, shit. It was, like, technically her first horror movie. Yeah, but I don't know if any... I don't know if I was supposed to watch it with her. But she said she watched, like... all of the scenes online already.
Oh, so.
So I was like, oh, I'm like, why the hell do you want to watch the movie then? If you've seen
everything.
I guess she just wanted to see it in context. But I'm always saying like, oh, I'd like to watch, you know, horror movies someday with you. And we watched it and she, you know, she wasn't scared. And she was originally afraid of the Ghostbusters theme song. Okay. So just to give you an idea. She's not really into being scared. Like, I remember when she was little, and that would just play, and she'd, like, just leave the room screaming. I'm like, what? This Ghostbusters, not scary. Lose her fucking mind. I'm like, no. So, this was as her first horror movie. She jumped once at one part where the girl was in her house, and she turned around, and Pennywise was like up in the door jam there and like grabbed her.
Oh yeah.
That got her. But the rest of the movie, she was just like, meh.
There's only one part that got me, and that one.
It came out of the screen there.
Yeah. Fucking clown.
It's not bad, but I don't think it's creepy or scary at all.
So are you not excited for the next one then?
No, I am. But I don't know. I just don't feel like it was a scary movie at all.
How about compared to the original miniseries?
I don't know.
Tough call, huh?
Well, fucking Tim Curry was just so good in that.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with Tim Curry.
It's hard to really.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right. Well.
But I definitely don't. Oh, well, you know.
I know, yeah. So next one is number 34 is Poltergeist, 1982.
Oh, another great one.
Interestingly enough, it says the only PG-rated film on the list. I did not realize it was only PG.
Yeah, back then, man. They got away with all kinds of shit.
I guess so.
I think what was the first movie? Temple of Doom, I think?
Mm-hmm.
Was it first PG-13, maybe?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah. Temple of Doom, yeah.
Yeah, but before that, they were like, meh. Eh. PG.
Whatever, they're okay. You know, what's your...
Yeah, like Jaws, that was PG, I think.
I think so, yeah.
And that scarred me for life.
Yeah. But Poltergeist, definitely a good one. Although, yeah. I don't know. Should that be higher than 34?
I think it should be. I think all these movies should at least be in the 20s. Mm. The ones that I'm.
Well, can't wait to see what's in the 20s then. But at 33, we have Hellraiser.
Hellraiser. Another classic.
Yep.
Another favorite. I remember I watched that by myself. And it totally freaked me the fuck out.
Yeah.
Because I had no idea what the hell it was about.
Mm.
And that's back in the day when you just rented whatever.
Oh, like, yeah.
Oh, you know, nobody wants to watch this. I'm just going to go sit up and watch this. And I was like, oh, shit.
But would you put that above Poltergeist? I know.
Nah.
The Fly?
Oh.
Yeah.
No.
See, this is a weird one. Weird list.
There's good movies on the list, but
yeah.
The order is kind of.
Number 32, Dawn of the Dead.
Original one?
The original one, 1979.
Huh. I mean, amazing movie. I don't know. I'm not getting this list. Which one is that? 30?
32.
I'm curious to see what's in the top 10 there.
See? I knew this list would be interesting. Number 31, The Babadook.
The Babadook.
The Babadook.
I liked The Babadook.
Yeah, was it good?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. Mm-hmm. I've definitely heard a lot of mixed things about that, but...
Yeah, they call it a love-it-or-hate-it thriller.
Yeah, I mean, as far as, like, new horror movies go, I thought it was pretty damn good.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. I only saw it once, but...
Again, not better than The Fly, I'm sure, but...
No. I feel like a new movie can't be better than any of that.
Yeah.
It has to be around, stand the test of time a little bit longer than,
to me. We'll see. Because at number 30, we have Christine. Christine.
I actually just watched that the other day.
That was a pretty good one.
Yeah. It's a good one. It's not one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Especially the John Carpenter. I mean, it's, you know, it's a good movie, but.
Yeah. Yeah, but not one of your favorites of him.
No.
I can see that, yeah. It was good, though. I liked it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it wasn't like... not like... Ooh, number 29, Invasion of the Body Snatchers, 1978.
That's a good one. That has Jeff Goldblum, too.
And Donald Sutherland.
Donald Sutherland and... lost it. Spock.
Leonard Nimoy?
I can't remember his damn name.
Yes.
There's one image of that where there's a dog running around with a human's face on it.
Ooh.
Which, that used to fuck me up.
Yeah, I can see
that. I mean, it's like a shitty mask, but it was just like, what the fuck is that? You just wanted to stomp the shit out. Like, that's a pretty good one.
Yeah. That's a classic. Number 28. Friday the 13th, the original.
Oh, I was just watching that before I came here, actually.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. They're having a marathon. But so frustrating because it's like, they cut all the, they cut everything out of it. So it's what's the point?
Yeah, that kind of sucks, huh?
I fell asleep with the marathon going. And that was interesting because I definitely had Jason in one of my dreams. And there was some crazy shit going on. And then I woke up and like part 8 was on, which is a really bad one. That's when he goes to Manhattan.
Oh, Jason goes to Manhattan.
Did you see that?
I think I've seen part of it. I don't think I've seen the whole thing.
It's like he's in New York for like 10 minutes maybe in the whole. So it's like if you named your day after... He went to the store, like, there he goes to Walmart. Jason takes Manhattan. He was like there. He was on a boat for the whole fucking time, killing people on a boat, and nobody knew it. I'm like, the boat wasn't like a fucking cruise boat. It was like,
just like a
medium sized kind of boat.
Oh, okay.
It's not a good. I think that's the first one I saw in the theaters, I think.
Oh, really?
And I was like, oh.
Take my advice, pal. Quit while you're ahead.
I don't know. That's a classic. It's hard to say. I mean, I don't think it's. I don't know, man. That's like trying to pick your favorite kid. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, plus, it also has the history behind it too. So it's hard to.
Yeah. I'm a sucker for the Friday the 13th movies.
Yeah.
I love all of them, even though they're shitty. A lot of them are shitty.
Even
but they're good shitty.
Space.
Yeah, that one I'm warming up to, but...
It has a certain charm.
Yeah. There's a couple of good kills and stuff in it, too.
Mm. All right, so, number 27, Sleepaway Camp.
Oh.
Good
one. I love Sleepaway Camp.
That's a good one, yeah.
We should watch... I was going to maybe pick that one week to watch that.
Yeah, sure.
It has like one of the best unforgettable twist endings.
Oh, really?
Ooh. Nice. Which will totally scar you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
But in a good way, I think. I don't know.
It'll scar me in a good way, huh?
Yeah. Because it's so, the ending is so fucked up. But it's just this face that somebody makes. that just burns in your mind. I know it sounds weird, but once you see it, you'll be like, what the fuck?
Okay.
It's fucking weird.
Interesting.
Like, I remember seeing that as a kid, and I was like, what the fuck just happened? I don't want to ruin it for you. So
Interesting. Ah, number 26, The Nightmare on Elm Street, the original.
Man.
That's a classic. That
legit.
One. Can't go wrong with that one.
That movie used to freak me out, too.
Yeah, that was a good one. That one I've seen.
I remember I used to hang out with my older cousin, and he got into watching horror movies and stuff. And I was trying to hang with him and be like, yeah, yeah, let's watch that. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to fucking lose my mind. Like, yeah, it's scary, man. And I was like, quietly just shitting myself in the corner. Like, oh my God. Especially because I live near Elm Street.
Oh, jeez, like, oh yeah.
God, I live right off the street from.
Take my advice, pal. Quit while you're ahead.
Oh. Now we're getting into some good stuff. Number 25, An American Werewolf in London.
Oh, man.
That's a good one.
That is one of my favorites, too. This is a tough list. I know. Like, if I had all these, I know that a certain, well, at least 10 right now would be higher than they are, but I don't know where I would put them.
All right. Well, how about number 24, The Ring?
Yeah, that's
the American one.
That's down by 50, I think. That
would be lower for you.
Yeah. A lot lower.
Yeah.
Ugh. I didn't really dig The Ring that much.
I did not see it, but yeah. All right. This next one I'm upset about, actually. Number 23, The Blair Witch Project.
The Blair Witch?
Lower.
What the? That should be like.
Way fucking lower.
Lower than. That should be higher than 50. Like 60. Or with, well.
Yeah. Shouldn't even be on this list. Fuck the
negative
Blair Witch
12.
Fucking Blair Witch. Fuck that shit.
Fuck Blair Witch.
Fucking Blair Witch.
That shit was not scary.
No.
That shit was. It was nothing.
It was annoying, is what it was.
Yeah. There was so much nothing happening in that movie.
Ugh.
I remember we saw that. We saw that together. We were yep. like,
mm-hmm.
I heard scarier than Exorcist. I'm like, yep. Ooh, shit.
Bullshit.
Yeah. I'm like, what? What happened? The kids are banging on the tent. A little creepy.
Yeah, a little creepy, but not...
Not scary, really.
Certainly not more than anything in The Exorcist.
Hells no. You just have a little 12-year-old girl spinning her head around and telling you that your mother sucks cocks in hell. That's fucking frightening, man. You're like, what the fuck did she say? That's some scary shit.
Yeah, it is. Ah... All right, so fuck the list.
Yeah, I'm getting nervous now on this list.
Well, this next one, number 22, The Evil Dead, the first one.
Okay. That should be nowhere near Blair Witch.
No, agreed. Oh,
a lot of people like Blair Witch, though, but
huh?
I think Blair Witch may deserve a spot because a lot of people do like it. But
a lot of people are wrong. All right, so number 22 was Evil Dead. Interestingly enough, number 21... Dead too.
Nice.
Yeah.
Although that is definitely one of my favorites.
Yeah, I would put that higher.
I can watch that at anytime I watch that, it's just
yeah,
pure joy. I can watch that anytime.
Even if I come in the middle of it.
Yeah.
It's still fun.
It has like perfectly paced. Like it starts off and it just hits the pedal to the metal and just goes, man.
Right,
and
you're
like, I love the shit out of that movie.
I know, it's awesome. All right, so here we go. Top 20. Are you ready? Number 20, Candyman. Interesting.
I like Candyman, but I mean, I thought it was okay. I didn't really like love it at the time.
Yeah, certainly not 20.
I don't think it's better than Evil Dead.
Yeah.
One or two.
Few things are.
Or any of that shit.
Yeah.
Really. I think it deserves a spot on there, but...
Not quite that high. Yeah.
No.
Not above some of the other ones.
Hell no.
How about number 19, Creepshow?
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
Again, I have a lot of favorites.
I know, right? That's why when I looked at this list, I was like, oh, we got to talk about it.
I love Creepshow, too.
Creepshow's good, yeah.
I mean, also. Creepshow 2 is okay, but I really like Creepshow 1 more.
And we talked last time about Creepshow 3 and your feelings on that.
That better not be on the fucking list. Probably fucking.
No, I'm pretty sure it's not. Oh, Number 18 is Scream.
No. No.
Would you put it on the list at all?
Yeah, I think it deserves a
definitely
spot.
Lower though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, I think the first Scream was pretty good. A nice little send up on the whole thing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't think it's better than any of that shit.
The whole list of others that we talked
about. Yeah. Like, it's too long to read. It's not better than Reanimated Fry and Friday Night and fucking.
Well, here we go. Number 17, Cabin in the Woods.
Hell no.
Yeah, you didn't like that one so much, huh? I haven't
Wait,
seen
am
it,
I thinking? But... Oh, I was thinking Cabin Fever, but Cabin in the Woods. Yeah, I didn't. It didn't.
Not as good as you were hoping.
A little too Josh Whedon-y for me.
Yeah.
A little too marmy? Is that what I want to say? I don't know. I don't know. It was a little too, you know, it's his, how he writes.
Yeah.
I like the idea of it, but I don't know. It didn't really work for me as much. I kind of want to see it again, though, because...
Yeah, I still want to see it at some point, so...
But, I mean, higher than any of that shit? That is offensive to me. Who is this again? Ubo?
Urbo?
Urbo.
Well, here we go. Number 16, Get Out.
Which is what I want to tell these people when I read the list.
Yeah, I'm like, it just, no.
No.
Greatest horror movies of all time?
Yep.
I mean, it's good.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, it's a good movie. The ending was a little,
but... Do I think people are going to be like, wow, Get Out 40 years later? I don't think so.
Well,
maybe. But
all right, so number 15, The Witch.
I definitely have to see that one again, but I kind of liked it, but it's very slow. Like,
yeah,
I heard that one was talked up a lot and was completely different than it was I was expecting.
I've heard a lot about that one actually. So
yeah, and not scary though. I mean, I don't know what people are coming over that shit. Unless everybody's just fucking pansies. I don't
know. It's so scary. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, we probably have different, you know, levels. I mean, I don't know. It takes a lot to freak me out or scare me. But that movie was not even close to... It was interesting, but it, scary,
not
no.
Scary, yeah.
Should not be... What is this number?
15.
Yeah, that's insane.
All right.
That's banana pants.
I can't... number 14, Let Me In.
What is that, though?
It's
a remake?
It's a remake of a Swedish film, Let the Right One In.
Yeah. I'm hating this list now.
They also, interestingly enough, they also say the original film is superior.
Yeah, it's way better, I think.
Really?
Yeah, it was just like a kind of a soulless remake that... It wasn't necessary.
Yeah.
Because the original wasn't that old. I mean, it was a foreign film, but Let the Right One In was really good, I thought. But again, top 15, whatever.
14, yeah.
Hell's no. This is pissing me off now.
Well, here's...
It's a good movie, though. I mean, well, the remake was okay. It had Chloe Moretz there.
Oh, yeah.
She played the young... It was like a vampire story.
Right, yeah. All right, well, this next one kind of picks up a little. Number 13, The Birds.
The Birds.
A Hitchcock classic.
Yeah.
Perhaps not necessarily scary, but...
Yeah, when I was a kid, that used to freak me out.
Yeah, yeah, me too.
I remember one time, I don't think it was why we were watching it, though, but I used to watch it all the time, you know.
Yeah.
Creature Double Feature.
Ah, yes.
I used to play all that shit. I remember one time a fucking bird flew into my window and I was like, what? It's coming true. It just like whoop and like crashed and I was like, and that was like why that was still fresh in my head. And I'm like, I'm never going outside again.
That one's a tough one to, because it is a great film, but.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely not, I mean, he's probably on the list again, I'm sure.
Yeah, but yeah.
Yeah, as for me, I think it deserves a spot, but it's not, I don't know.
Yeah, you'd put it definitely lower.
Yeah.
I think I would too, yeah. Number 12, The Silence of the Lambs.
Hmm.
Also a great film.
It's weird, I don't exactly think of it as a horror movie.
I know, I was going to say, for me it's more of a thriller than a horror movie.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely has some, you know.
Sure, yeah.
Freaky shit.
Right.
I mean, just him tucking himself and dancing. And, oh, I'd fuck me. Like, that's horrifying, but.
And your impersonation was horrifying.
Crying. Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's definitely a freaky movie. And it's a very good movie. I love that movie, too.
Yes, it is. It's a great movie. But, yeah, I don't know.
Mm. Lists are tough. That's why people tell me, like, ask me, you know, like, oh, what's your favorite band or your favorite movie? Yeah, or, I can't.
It's too.
I can't do that.
It depends on many factors and many moods and many, you know, it's always constantly changing. And
yeah, and I don't really think of it in terms like that.
I don't either, yeah.
Shit I like and shit I don't like. That's the two categories, yeah. Really.
How about number 11, Nosferatu?
The original one?
The original classic silent film,
which
I don't think I've ever seen.
Well, I think this is the just trying to get some street cred on there. I mean, it's not, of course, it's a monumental movie,
right?
But it's you know, it's very long.
Yeah.
And it's a silent movie, and yeah. You know, it's definitely not bad, and I can appreciate it. But as for me, it wouldn't be in my top.
Sure, I get that. Anything, I understand. You know? That. Yeah, that makes sense. All right, so there we are. We're in the home stretch now. Top 10.
Oh, man.
Number 10, Alien.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It is a phenomenal film.
It is a good one.
It is definitely a good one.
That one definitely deserves to be in there. I really love Aliens.
Yeah,
it's a total different vibe.
I was going to say, would you consider that a horror movie, though?
Not really.
Yeah.
But this is, it's definitely tense, though. And
yeah, sure.
Freaky shit abound.
Yeah. It's a little more action-y than.
Yeah.
Then Alien, the first Alien movie was definitely more of a horror film.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know. 10's not a bad spot for that.
Yeah. So that, I think that the top 10 is.
Yeah, that might actually be the first one that we agree with them.
See what's in front of it, though. Yeah. That's where I'm getting nervous.
Number 9, Night of the Living Dead, 1968.
Okay, yeah, I can't really argue with that.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Ooh, interesting. Number 8, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, 1974.
Hmm, definitely deserves to be there.
That is the movie, one of the movies that freaked me out, not when I watched it, maybe a little when I watched it, but I was like 10 years old, and I was at a party, and we watched it, and it was a sleepover party, and the next morning I woke up to the sound of somebody using a chainsaw out in the woods, cutting down trees. So that will always be a memory.
Like the whole idea of that movie freaked me out. I mean, well, way before I saw it.
Yeah.
But I was just like, that just seemed so horrifying to me.
Yeah.
Just some guy cutting up with a chainsaw.
Yeah, because it's not necessarily like a supernatural guy. It could just be a regular guy.
Yeah, and that would just suck so bad.
I know, right?
I mean, you get stabbed, you're like, that sucks, or shot, but yeah, somebody cutting you up.
With a fucking chainsaw, yeah.
And they kind of, I mean, it's technically based on true-ish events.
Right.
So they always play that angle, and you're like, what? Yeah. That's like real? What happened?
All right. Oh, number 7, Halloween, 1978. The original, baby.
Baby. Yeah, I mean, I can't really argue with the top 10 so far.
I know, interesting, huh? All right, number 6, Psycho, original, 1960.
Great fucking movie.
Mm-hmm.
Way ahead of its time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's some, I can't even imagine being, like, back then and then seeing that shit.
I know,
that ending must have totally flipped people the fuck out, man.
Oh, hell yeah, that would have been.
What?
That would have been something.
I'd love to have a time machine and just do that, like go back to the first
yeah.
viewing of Psycho.
All right, top 5, top fucking five. And number five is Rosemary's Baby.
Hmm.
Rosemary's Baby.
It is a good film, but I don't know if it should be higher than those ones.
Hmm.
I can see maybe top 10, but I don't know if it should be
top five.
Yeah. To me. But I mean, it is, you know.
Oh, it's, yeah, it's all.
Good film, of course. But.
Hmm. Interesting. Number four, It Follows.
What the fuck you, Herbo?
Take my advice, pal. Quit while you're ahead.
What's the second button? Is there a second button?
It's alive!
Oh, yeah. That's unforgivable, man.
Yeah. At number four.
That's insane. That, I heard a lot about that movie, too, and I didn't really like it.
Really?
It was okay, but...
Yeah.
The hype machine was strong with that one.
Well, here's another thing that'll probably piss you off. It says they wrote that it's best for anyone who wants to see the best John Carpenter film that isn't actually directed by John Carpenter.
What? I mean, now that I think about that, I can kind of see maybe elements of that, but fuck no, man. Four?
Yeah, four.
Fuck. Son of a...
All right, let's move on before your head explodes, which would be appropriate for this list. Anyway, number three, The Exorcist.
Definitely deserves to be up there.
That is one of the films that has permanently scarred me.
I was watching that the other day, too, TV.
I don't know if I can watch that again, honestly. I watched it by myself.
Yeah, me too.
Fucked me up.
I watched that by myself at like 2 in the morning.
Oof.
Which was not a good idea.
Yeah. That movie fucked me up.
Yeah.
That's the only movie that really fucking... That might be part of the reason why I didn't like horror movies for a very long time.
Yeah, it gets under your skin there, man.
That one definitely did. That one fucked me up.
And it's got... It's just such an oppressive movie.
Yeah.
Like, there's no light in that movie. It's just heavy. Yeah. Like, the whole thing.
Yeah.
And they do such a good job of setting up the mom and the daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And just seeing her as a regular kid.
Right.
And seeing what the priests are going through. And like, it does establishing the characters. And then when she has the turn, man, it's just like,
yeah,
holy shit.
It is brutal.
There's some crazy shit going on in there.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I think the only version that's really available now I don't know if it's director's cut, but it's something they added footage.
Oh, yeah.
And I like seeing the footage, but I think it kind of cheapens it a little bit.
Yeah. Because
it had like that spider walk thing.
Right,
yeah. Which is freaky.
Yeah.
But I think
I've seen
it worked better without it. And there was a couple other parts they added in, and I'm like...
Yeah.
It took away from the seriousness of it a little bit.
Because
I don't know, man. That's for me... I mean, I hear people watch it and they're like, well, that movie wasn't scary. And I'm like,
what?
I mean, maybe, you know, we watched it when we were young. I mean, I was pretty young.
Yeah, but still, it's fucking scarier than like the Blair Witch and shit.
Scary than the Blair Witch.
Scary than the Blair Witch.
A lot of people, though, on old films, that instantly is cheesy to them. Like they can't look past that it came out, you know, 70s or something. That's instant corn to them. They're like,
Instant
it's a corny.
Yeah, I agree. I know what you mean. All right. Interesting. Two films left. Number two. I know you love this one. The Thing.
I do love The Thing.
Yes.
That's a tough one. I can't really say. It definitely deserves to be up there, though. So I can't really hate on that.
Yeah.
To me, that's almost a perfect movie to me.
Yeah. It was good. It was definitely good.
I love the shit out of that movie.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's a tough one. I don't know. I mean, definitely, it would definitely be up there high on the list. Number two, it's hard to say. Maybe. Maybe not. I don't know. But let's move on to the final. Number one. Any thoughts?
Tough. I'm thinking Jaws or something, but.
Jaws was not on this list.
I mean, it's not exactly a horror movie, I guess. But
I guess.
I figure it would be on there somewhere.
You would think. No. Number one is a film by Stanley Kubrick. Kubrick.
The Shining.
It is The Shining.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's a great horror movie as well. I don't know. I'd definitely put it in the top tier, but.
But that's a tough call, yeah. I mean, well, it would be... I don't know if you could easily pick a number one.
Yeah, that would be hard.
It would be, but, yeah.
I mean, a lot of the list, though, I did disagree with. I mean, maybe not the placing. A lot of the
upper list.
Yeah, like a lot of... I like most of the movies on the list.
Right.
But they threw some curveballs, I think, just to make it more interesting.
I guess. I don't know. Anyway, so that was that. That was interesting. I wanted to see your opinions on that, and you didn't disappoint.
Well, I hope that was interesting to everybody else listening.
I'm sure it was. Mm-hmm. So let's move on to our next story. We only got a couple left. Next up. Boba Fett is dead.
Da, da, da.
He's alive.
No, it's dead. yeah. So, word has come out that basically the planned Boba Fett movie that was going to be directed by James Mangold is dead.
Yeah.
Was murdered basically by the Jon Favreau Mandalorian series. And I know that Kathleen Kennedy said she was approached by a film critic, I think. Or a reporter or something, who asked her about the Boba Fett film, and she said basically that Lucasfilm is currently focusing only on Episode 9, the Mandalorian TV show, and the Rian Johnson trilogy, which I'm sure will thrill many fans.
What about the other trilogy?
Nothing.
No.
That was all she mentioned, all she focused on. So. But as far as I know, that the other trilogy is still going on with the Game of Thrones guys. So, that's a good question.
Actually. I thought that was going to move ahead first. I thought.
I don't know. Well, I mean, but on the other hand, she didn't. That's what, you know, that was her answer. And she didn't really say everything else was dead necessarily, but that was kind of the impression put out.
But she did say that Boba Fett's 100% dead, though, right? Did read that, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Actually, she didn't say that.
She didn't say that?
Nope.
Oh, I thought that's what I heard.
She did not specifically say that, no.
Oh.
She didn't actually say anything was dead.
Oh.
She just said they're narrowing their focus on Episode 9, Mandalorian, and the Rian Johnson trilogy. However, I believe she did say that the Mandalorian kind of is...
taking the place of that?
Yeah, they kind of don't feel the need for a Boba Fett film with this the Mandalorian show, which I'm kind of okay with, actually.
Yeah, I mean, see what they do with it.
You yeah, know? And Boba Fett's kind of one of those characters where I kind of don't want to see too much of.
Well, it's weird. Like, I heard an opinion, because we always just grew up with Boba Fett's fucking cool.
Right.
But, like, a newer school of thought is, why do we like him? He's kind of lame. And I'm like, shut your face. But then I'm thinking about it. I'm like,
I can kind of see it. Yes.
I can kind of get that.
Cause really didn't really do a whole lot.
I mean, he looks fucking cool.
He looks fucking cool. He's mysterious, but that's what I mean. Because if we learn too much about him, it'll take away his mystery. Like I kind of didn't like seeing him in the prequels as a kid.
Yeah. Unnecessary.
It was unnecessary. And,
it's stupid.
And let's face it, he had one of the cheesiest deaths in this entire saga, unfortunately.
Yeah, as far as going screen time, I could see why people wouldn't be too impressed.
Right.
But see, if they did do a Boba Fett movie, I would like them to do... They can't fill in back then, I don't think, because that fucks it all up. But I think they should have him survive the Sarlacc. Like in the books, they had that, and it was pretty good. Yep. Like, I remember... one that I read that had Dengar found him or something.
Oh, right, yeah.
And was, like, working with him. Dengar, they kind of like made him like a lovable loser kind of guy. And he like, I'm trying to remember, it's been like, you know, 20 years almost since I've read it, but
I know, right?
It was really good though. And I know that that's kind of like cheesy to save him from that, but I think you can't go back. You have to go like forward.
Right. Yeah.
Make him come out of that and like try to get, you know, heal himself up, get better. And then, then see him be a badass after.
Right.
And that would be more viable than being like, oh, he was this really badass guy. But and then the next time you see him, he's like, whoa, flying into the Sarlacc pit.
Yeah, I know, right? So, I mean, I can see that point, but
yeah,
for us, it's like, it's fucking Boba Fett. He's always been kind of cool and mysterious. And
yeah, like, I'm not used to hearing people say that he's kind of lame. And I'm like, what? He's not lame. I'm like, well,
you shut up.
I was like, yeah, I can kind of see that, I guess. Yeah. He was just instantly cool to all of us.
Yeah.
Without, you know, there was no internet. Everybody just was like, wow, he's fucking cool.
Right. And that's why I kind of don't want to see more of him.
Yeah.
Because I don't want. But anyway, looks like we might not be seeing more of him, so.
I definitely would watch it, though.
Yeah, I would, too, but.
Boba Fett movie.
Oh, yeah, Boba Fett. But yeah, all right, so let's move on to our next story. So this is actually going to be our last story, and so basically, as we mentioned in previous episodes, Robert Englund was going to be coming back to play Freddy Krueger on the show The Goldbergs. So I'll let you take it from there.
Okay. Which I did see that. Mm-hmm. I didn't watch the episode though, but I found a clip online and I watched it. And it was cool just to see him come back.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. The dialogue was but I was like, oh, cool. He's fucking back. But anyway, I guess the maker of that show, Adam F. Goldberg, tweeted to New Line Cinemas telling them, you know, like, he said he'd never do it again, and I got him to do it, so do your job, get him back for at least one more, you know, kind of just egging him on.
Interesting, yeah.
And they're saying, you know, the success of the new Halloween and stuff, like.
Right.
And he kind of, Robert Englund kind of said that he could maybe be up for one more, and that would be fucking great, because he never really got a send-off. Yeah. I mean, he did Freddy versus Jason.
Right, yeah.
But we didn't know at the time that was it.
Right.
So if he could come back for one, like, last.
I don't even remember how that ended.
They like, fought each other, and then, well, no shit, but. But at the end, they were in the water, and then at the end, Jason comes out, and he's carrying his head.
Right.
Yeah, Freddy's head.
Right.
And then he winks at the screen, and you're right, like, oh.
Yeah. He's not dead.
Because there was talks about Ash versus Jason versus Freddy,
right,
and all kinds of shit.
Yeah. Oh, that would have been good.
And none of it happened. Yeah, and then we just got shitty reboots. And
sure as hell ain't going to happen now.
No. But it would be great for him to come back one last time.
Yeah.
I think that would be amazing.
Well, who knows? Maybe this would get the ball rolling and it might happen.
I did see a clip of him on a talk show and he's like, it'd be like, Freddy versus Viagra. He's like Geritol or something. He's like, you know, I'm getting older there. But he said, you know, I could maybe have one more in me. I think he really liked doing it again.
Yeah, probably, yeah. I don't even know what he's doing nowadays.
I don't know. He's still, like, he is in horror movies and stuff.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. Let's hope that happens someday.
Yeah, that would be great. Make it happen.
Make it fucking happen. Because I didn't see the reboot of Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh, but, fuck, man.
Not good.
Not good. Not good. Yeah. Really bad.
Really bad?
Really bad. It's really,
Jackie Earle Haley.
Jackie Earle Haley. Little Jackie Paper.
Little Jackie Earle Haley.
Like, I like him. And I thought that would be a good.
Right, yeah.
They kind of tried to make him look like a realish kind of burn victim, which was not really the angle to go there.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was not good.
Yeah.
The kids, everybody was like so miserable and shitty. Like, that's what they can't, they forget about that element of the, you know, like you right, have to give yeah. a fuck about the people that are getting killed or.
Right, yeah.
You don't care about right. anything that's going on.
Mm, interesting. All right, well, again, let's hope that happens at some point. But that's going to do it for our stories this evening. And now... it's time for the segment we call Keeper's Recommendations. So what do we have for recommendations this week?
Are we not starting with the top one?
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Should we save that for the last?
Yeah, let's save that for last.
Okay, and I'll try to get through this as fast.
All right, so we'll skip to the next one.
Okay. My first recommendation will be the new Halloween movie.
Ah.
I have finally seen it.
Excellent.
I've heard mixed stuff.
Yeah.
But I have to say I really liked it.
I believe it's doing very well right now, too.
Yeah, it is. It's surprisingly. Is
yeah. But it lived up to your expectation?
I think so, for the most part, because, I mean, the Halloween movies are not good. They're just not. I can watch them. I've seen all of them multiple times, but they're not really good. Mm. And Michael Myers has not been threatening or scary in a long time.
Yeah.
And this movie actually made him, I actually felt that way. Like, I was like, oh, shit. Like, he's... He was doing some serious shit, and he felt threatening, like, which I felt weird. I'm like, I haven't felt that. It's like trying to make Freddy scary again. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. Cause yeah.
So you're telling me that when he faced off against Busta Rhymes, he was not scared?
No. Well, it was frightening, but a whole other reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this one was good.
Yeah, I mean, Jamie Curtis was, I thought she did really well with what she had in the role, you know.
Awesome.
She's kind of,
awesome.
Was, you know, traumatized and
yeah,
kind of estranged from her family. And mm-hmm. I think she sold it really well, and it was really, she was really emotional at certain points, you know, and I felt,
interesting.
I felt bad for her. I was like, I kind of, it's weird because the way that he goes from being imprisoned and then getting loose and coming back to the Haddonfield, which it doesn't make any fucking sense. I mean, it's just not ever going to.
Right.
And the way they explain it, I'm not 100% on board with. Like, there's a little story twist that if anybody saw it, they'll know what I'm talking about. That was pretty weak.
Mm.
Like, a character made a left turn, and we didn't know enough about the character to sell it, for one.
Oh, really?
Because it was just like, What did he do? What is he doing? Like, but it's good enough of an excuse just to get Jason, Mike back in the, you know, just get him back killed like we want to see.
Yeah, get that Mikey back in the field.
Yeah, so how he gets there is just the means to an end.
Right.
It's not great, but I gave it a pass on that. I was like, that's kind of stupid, but I'm okay with it.
Right.
And they were like, I heard people complaining about the people he killed, and like people didn't get enough time to get to know the characters and stuff. And I'm like, I don't feel that at all. I didn't have that complaint. It was just nice seeing him fucking doing his thing. And it felt like a Halloween movie. And with John Carpenter's score was fucking great. And they brought back one thing that really sold it for me. There's one part when Michael Myers looks in the window and it does this noise that they used to do, like in the first one, is like, which I know I can't really sing it right, but they used, like, that's like made me go like, oh shit, I'm watching Halloween, man. And
oh, nice.
It was just a little touch like that. I know when I did it, it sounds like the Brady Bunch when they have the tiki thing in Hawaii there with the tiki fucking.
Yeah.
Like, but that gave me like a little chill. I was like, ooh, I liked it.
So then, are you up for the possibility of sequels that they have talked about?
Yeah, I guess they originally were going to shoot two of it back to back.
Oh, right, yeah.
And then they were like, well, let's see how the first one does. Mm-hmm. And the ending is not really, like, really gratifying. Like, I mean, it's not bad, but
yeah.
They do have a face-off, and it kind of ends. And it doesn't really feel like it's, like, oh, it's definitely leading into something else. Except if they do, like, a close-up on, well, I won't spoil anything, but it's just weird. Mm. The close-up is weird, and I'm like, what is that supposed to mean? I don't know.
Mm.
But, yeah, I would like to see another one.
Yeah?
But, yeah, I don't want to really go, I don't want to go into spoilers or anything. And Jamie Lee Curtis said that she would be up for it as long as the director is involved and asks her to do it. So, mm. And I think he's working on a follow-up now. I don't know if he plans on directing it, but hopefully he is.
Oh, awesome.
So it was not perfect, but...
But it was good.
I liked it. I felt enjoy like it. A Halloween movie.
Cool. Cool.
The simpler, the better. I mean, if you try to, every time they try to overcomplicate it, it's just like the Halloween, it got so ridiculous. The story is, this is just, he broke free. He's going back to town.
But they never did send him to space. So
he did not. Oh, I hope that's not in the fucking sequel. Oh, no.
Take my advice, pal. Quit while you're ahead.
So, yeah, it's a good. I mean, it's been out for a couple of weeks now, so.
Yeah, and like I said, it appears to be doing well, so that's good.
Yeah, I really liked it. I was surprised.
All right, so what else you got?
And now, on a PSVR front, there's a game called Moss.
Interesting.
Which I haven't. I don't think it's that long, but I'm not done it yet, though, but.
Mm.
You play as a little mouse. Well, you're controlling the mouse, but you're also kind of a spirit of the forest that's represented by, like, a little glowing orb that you can manipulate things.
I heard about this game, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like a platformer puzzle kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Like, you can fight little weird creatures and bullshit.
Right.
And it's pretty cool. I mean, it's probably one of the top tier of the PSVR games so far. Cool. Four. What the fuck? My mouth is failing. It's weird because I just kind of got back into the VR because I haven't played in a while.
Mm.
And I played one game for like 5 minutes and I thought I was going to fucking die. I was like, oh my God. There's a lot of spinning and I was like, oh no.
Yeah.
So I went to put this one in and it's pretty stationary for the most part. So I was like, okay, this is more my speed.
Yeah.
I have to get back my fucking VR legs, man. Which sucks. I just bought a game that's called Ultra Wings, which is basically Pilot Wings in VR.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that one, too.
Which I wicked want to play it, but I'm like, I can't do it yet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that might be a test on you.
Which I did want to tell you, because I know you used to love Pilot Wings.
Oh, yeah, I did. I used to love Pilot
Wings. VR, man! Try that out sometime.
Maybe. Might have to take some Dramamine before that.
I know, I think I'm getting some of that shit myself.
But, yeah, so...
But anyway, it's a pretty good game. It's been out a little while, and I think it's relatively cheap. $30 mark, I think, somewhere on there.
Not bad.
It's not very long, though. I heard it's only, like, between 4 to 6 hours or something, but...
Well, it's a VR game, so, you know...
Really... They are getting better with that. There's some that are actually, like, pretty long now.
Yeah. Cool.
Well, that's it for me, man.
All right. Well, I have a couple as well. Being that since we didn't record last week, I have a couple extra ones. And the first one is, so I beat the Spider-Man game finally.
Hey.
Yay! And I also finally looked in the art book that I had. That came with the collector's edition that had a warning side that said, warning, don't look at this until after you beat the game because there are spoilers. Which, whatever, but it wasn't.
Was there anything really in there? Not really.
I mean, it had, you know, it had, like, designs for the
villains
and everything. So, you know, it tells you who's in it, but you can kind of.
Yeah.
That wasn't really. But anyway, and the first part of the 3-part DLC just came out, and I downloaded that, and I played a little bit of that. And it involves the Black Cat, which is kind of cool. She's a fun character. So basically, she's stealing a bunch of hard drives from the Magia, which is their version of the mob. And you're trying, as Spider-Man, you're trying to figure out why. So it adds some story elements with that. And it's kind of nice because it's a lighter story after the deep story of the main game.
Yeah, it gets a little dark there at the end.
Yeah, it does, yeah. And yeah. And definitely you feel after I beat it, I felt like I went through
some shit, man.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
I know, I was like not expecting some of that. I was like, whoa, what the fuck's going on?
Yeah. But it was great. So I will say this is a lighter story, so it's kind of a nice change of pace. And I mean it adds more things to it, but nothing groundbreaking. It has 3 new suits, which are cool, and it adds some challenges from the character Screwball, who that character annoys the fuck out of me. But anyway, and there's some new crimes from the Magia that you fight and stuff. So it's kind of,
I heard it's kind of harder. A lot of the new challenges, like or the new
yes.
Bugs.
Yes, they are harder. They're definitely harder. They have, you know, the brutes, the big guys?
Yeah.
Well, now they have brutes with Gatling guns. Yeah. Yeah. That's tough. But anyway, it kind of just gives you more of the same with a new, like, paint job over it. But it's more Spider-Man, so it gives you more chance to play Spider-Man, so.
Yeah, that's good.
So that's a good thing. But I recommend, if you played Spider-Man and you enjoyed it, I recommend getting the DLC.
I heard it's only like 3 hours, though, to do all of the extra shit.
That I can't speak on because I have only just started playing it, but...
Yeah, which is not...
I'm sure it's not, yeah.
You know...
I'm sure it's not much, but...
Yeah, I mean, I still plan on getting it, but I think I'm going to wait till it's all out. Yeah. I think by December it's supposed to all be out.
Yes, yeah. So this one just came out. The second part will be November, and then third part in December.
Yeah.
So there you go. But yeah, whenever. But I do recommend at some point getting back into it and playing some more Spider-Man, because
it's more Spidey, man.
It's more fucking Spidey.
You can't go wrong with that.
Yep. All right. So my next thing is a show that I started watching on Netflix. It's called Norseman, and it is a show about Vikings. But it's a half hour comedy, but it's not like a sitcom. It's a fun show, and it's not like, well, there's no laugh track, so, but it's not like heavy comedy, but it's fun. It's a fun show and it's entertaining, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I haven't even heard of that one.
If you like Vikings and stuff, check it out. It's fun. There's 2 seasons out. They're only like 10 episodes, I think. Not even, I think. And they're half-hour episodes, so you can breeze through it really quickly.
Really? Right. Wilbur. You did like a little Mr. Ed thing there. Really quickly, Will.
But yeah, so I recommend it. It was fun. Entertaining. Not too heavy on the comedy, so it's not like ridiculous, but you know, good.
Cool.
Next up, I have another show that's been doing really well, getting a lot of buzz, and that is The Haunting of Hill House, also on Netflix. And a good thing to start watching in time for Halloween. I've only watched 2 episodes. My wife has watched 4 episodes. She really enjoys the show. It's cool because it's like, it's a horror show because, you know, they have all the haunting stuff, but it's also part family drama, and they really get into each character. There's 5 kids plus the mother and father, and they kind of flip back and forth between present day and the past to show how the hauntings have affected them and like what they ends up happening to them as an adult because of this. Like, one's a drug addict and one's a mortician and all this stuff. But it's very, it's creepy, it's interesting, and it's kind of cool.
Yeah, when I came over today and you guys were in like the middle of the 4th episode,
yeah, Yeah.
And I had no idea what the fuck you were watching. and I had no idea what the fuck was going on. But I think I got up to speed by the end of it. But because I did want to watch that show too at some point. Mm-hmm. But it didn't feel like a horror show. Like I was like,
no, yeah.
Drama kind of.
But there is definitely horror in there.
Yeah, that was like one element that kept popping up. I'm like, okay, that's weird.
Yeah. But it's kind of interesting the way they do it. So I recommend that. And finally, my final recommendation is a movie that I recently saw. And that is A Bad Time at the El Royale. And it was a cool movie. Almost Quentin Tarantino-esque in a way. And it's about these people that go to this hotel called the El Royale. And you find out that these people, they're there for various reasons, and you kind of find out that these people are not who they appear to be. For example, like Jeff Bridges is in it. He plays a priest, but I'm not going to say too much because I don't want to spoil anything. And John Hamm's in it, and he turns out to be something completely different than what he first appears to be. And even the hotel itself is something completely different than what it appears to be. Chris Hemsworth is in it. He plays a Charles Manson-esque cult leader. Because the movie takes place in like the 70s. But it was very interesting and very entertaining. And
yeah, I heard good things.
Yeah, it's good. It's really good. Kind of a, it's not like one of the big movies that are out right now, but it's good. I really enjoyed it. And I have to say, Jeff Bridges, I almost put him on a level with Jeff Goldblum.
I love Jeff Bridges.
Jeff Bridges is awesome.
You know, your wife doesn't know. She has a blank spot for Jeff Bridges.
Yeah.
She could never remember him. I don't know if she's still like that, but she
used to. I don't know. Yeah. When we used to play trivia games, yeah.
She can never remember him.
Yeah.
Like, who's that guy?
Dude. But yeah, I mean, I love Jeff Bridges. He's just like Jeff Goldblum. He's like bacon. He makes everything better. So there we go.
Can't go wrong with Jeff Bridges.
Nope.
It's the Jeffs, I'm feeling. Maybe there's a Jeff connection there. I don't know.
Maybe. We'll have to see if there are any other Jeffs. But in the meantime, that's my last recommendation. So go out. I don't even know if it's still playing, but if you get a chance to see that, I recommend that movie. So let us move on to our final part, our final segment. And that is
Keep It on the Fringe movie review of the work. Scary version.
Wait.
2.0. Scary 2.0. Boo.
Oh, that's right. It's time for our movie review. And this week we dipped into our favorite time period, the 80s, to watch. What?
Magical time.
Magical time, yes. To watch a movie called Trick or Treat. Now this is
the 80s one.
80s one, not the
2000
whatever one.
Yeah.
That was an anthology.
Yeah, because it was made and then it was on the shelf for a while, so I don't know actually when it was made.
Mm. But that was a good one.
Yeah, that was a good one too.
But this is an entirely different one.
And this is also in the category of shit that they should see.
He's alive.
And what do we have on this one?
Oh.
Oh.
I was not prepared for that
part. I thought you just pulled the box out.
No, I pulled up the notes. Oh. Okay. There we go. Eddie Weinbauer is a typical all-American teenager. At least he was until he fell under the evil spell of rock music. Now he's obsessed with his heavy metal superstar idol, Sammy Kerr, who was killed in a hotel fire. Eddie becomes the recipient of the only copy of Kerr's unreleased album, which when played backwards sends a message of destruction, and as Halloween approaches, Eddie begins to realize this isn't only rock and roll, it's life and death, and he must draw the line to thwart this mission. Wow.
Now, I didn't actually write down too much.
Yeah, I didn't see you writing it at all there.
No, really. I only wrote down a couple of things. I don't know, I just...
I mainly wrote down nitpicks, really.
Yeah, that's fine. I just didn't have a lot to to write, not because I wasn't enjoying the film. I don't know. I just, but anyway.
Yeah. I mean, my nitpicks are pretty silly. And
so, let us get started with the good, the bad, and the nitpicky. And, we'll do nitpicks, of which I have only one. So I'll do mine first. And there was a scene where you saw the boom microphone slip into the top of the screen.
Oh yeah.
And it's not even a nitpick really. It just kind of made me laugh. I'm like, hey, boom mic. it was like a bright orange one too. So
it broke the immersion you were having.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you love that kind of stuff. Like yeah. Little goofs and shit.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, so that's my thing. So what do you got?
That the metal kid, which is Skippy from Family Ties. I don't know if anybody remembers that shit because we're old. So
Skippy from Family Ties.
He was the, they said loser rocker kid that became, he was the hero of the movie. Mm-hmm. But he did things that were not metal.
Yeah.
Like he liked to eat Twinkies with chocolate milk. Not metal. Just saying.
Not metal.
And he was writing a letter to his rock hero and saying, best friends forever. Not metal.
Not metal.
Unless he cut himself and put blood on it or something. Maybe he could pass as metal.
Kind of metal.
A little metal-ish. A
little metal-ish.
But he didn't straight up white lined paper. Yeah. Best friends forever.
Best friends forever.
Not metal.
Not metal.
Not metal.
And another one I had was, there was like no, it was during Halloween season, but until the last night, until Halloween, there was no signs that this had anything to do with Halloween.
Right.
Except for, Gene Simmons plays a DJ in this.
Oh, yeah.
And he mentioned after the guy died, Eddie went to see the guy at the radio station. He's like, oh, I have a copy of the record, his last record, and I was going to play it on Halloween night, and I'm letting you have a copy because you're his biggest fan. And you're writing him fruity letters and what have you. And here you go.
Fruity letters.
Not metal. Not metal.
So that was just a little nitpick. But you were like, why is this trick-or-treating? Oh, yeah. Halloween's happening.
Yeah, I don't know why it was called trick-or-treat.
Yeah. Except for he did badly limp sync that later on when he came back. But we'll get into that.
Yeah.
Oh, another nitpick about that guy is he's a little too twirly. He he kind of revived. He kind of was like Shocker. Like he became like alive through electricity.
Which is weird because he died in a fire.
Yeah. Which they kind of had like a weird flash of like Eddie had a flash of him. He was listening to the record and he started playing backwards.
Right.
And he had a flash of him in like a ring with fire around him. He looked like he was doing some kind of a satanic ritual thing.
Yeah.
And there was like two people behind him like on fire, just going back and forth. They didn't really explain it, but you got enough to be like, oh, he must have done something. But when he showed up at the end of the movie, they had like the Halloween dance. And at first he was helping Eddie get revenge because they always picked on him and stuff. Right,
yeah.
And then Eddie was like, it's going too far, man, and I want to stop it. And he's like, no, I'm going to still fuck with those teenagers for you. Yeah. So he came to life back and he's playing at the dance. And he was very twirly. I mean, like, maybe Kip Winger level.
Oh,
I don't know.
Yeah. I'd say with the way he looked was kind of poisonish, but that.
Yeah. A little rat, maybe.
Maybe a little rat. Yeah.
Stephen Piercy there a little bit.
Yeah.
But he was very twirly.
Very twirly.
And that's okay, except for when he's supposed to be evil. It's hard to take that seriously when you're twirling around. And
by the way, being very twirly.
Not metal.
And he was like the worst lip syncing I ever saw.
Oof, yeah. It
was. And one thing I hate too is when I see people fake play the guitar.
Yeah.
That makes me mad.
Yeah.
And it was just terrible. Yeah. But I mean, still, these are nitpicks, not like anything that really draws away from the movie. But,
right, right.
But you, very true, Larry. And that leads into the other nitpick of the dude looks like Chris Angel. So that's all I could think of. He was trolling around. He kind of looks like the mind freak guy and bad lip syncing. And I'm like, mind freak! Every time he just like pop out of a fucking electric socket or something. I'm like, so again, nitpick, not terrible,
but also
not middle.
And another thing, this is, well, it's kind of a nitpick, but it was kind of weird, is that the name of the last guy, the main character, is Eddie Weinbauer. Now, if you yell that from a distance, I'm like, what are they saying? Because they don't really say what his last name. I mean, they mention it, but right. Not really. So I'm sitting there, and it sounds like they had the usual blonde, popular douchebag jock guy that always fucked with him.
Yep.
And he was just outside of his house. It sounded like he was yelling white power. I'm like, white power. I'm like,
what?
What? What's he saying? And then every time everybody yelled it, that's all I could hear. I'm like, that's not right. Why did you make it sound like, because nobody said Weinbauer. It was kind of like, they just kind of,
yeah,
white power. I'm like,
what?
And it was like, that's not right.
Say that again.
So that was a little weird, but you know, definitely not, doesn't detract points. It's just odd and yeah, kind of funny because they're like, what is he saying? Why is he yelling that? But yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it for nitpicks.
All right. So let's move on to the bad. I have only one thing in the bad column. And that was Skippy Butt.
Skippy Butt.
There was a scene where Skippy or Eddie, whatever you want to, Weinbauer, he was getting picked on. It was a montage too, which is weird.
Yeah, it was like a really, usually montages are uplifting or this progress. And this one was not.
This is a montage of him getting picked on by the preppy boys.
Yeah.
And in one part of it, he was in the shower, gym shower. He came out when they were fucking around with him, and they took his Walkman or something, or his tape, whatever it was. And they slid it through a doorway, and he went after it, and they grabbed his towel, and they locked the door behind him, and he wound up being in the middle of the gym while the girls were playing volleyball naked, and they kept showing his butt. I did not want to see his butt. Never once in my life have I watched Family Ties and thought, man, I would love to see Skippy's butt.
I wonder what he's got going on under there.
I wonder what his butt looks like. It's smooth, and let me tell you.
Not. Metal.
Yeah, I think he was bending over. I was like, oh,
I know, yeah.
You're staring right into it at one point.
So I could have done without that, but that's it. That's all I had. Did you have anything under bad?
I do not have anything under bad.
All right. So let's move on to the good category. I have a couple of things. Number one, Ozzy.
That was my number one.
Ozzy Osbourne.
As well.
He had a small part.
Playing a reverend.
Yes, who was against heavy metal music and was one of the ones that was saying, oh, it's evil. Which was, the irony was very nice, very good there.
Yeah.
Ozzy playing there.
It wasn't like he was acting, he was just talking.
Yeah.
But it was good. It was.
And you could understand him because this was back in the 80s.
Yeah.
So
you could see, you could see where we got to, though. It was definitely in there still.
Yeah, definitely. But so it was cool to see Ozzy doing that. It was, very funny, very ironic, very entertaining. The other thing I put was, this movie is very 80s.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, it strikes a lot of notes with me that, you know, heavy metal.
Yeah.
The devil.
The devil.
Fucking just being a heavy metal kid.
Yep. Which we both were.
And kind of identifying with it. I mean, I never had anybody picking on me.
Nobody picked on it. Nobody would dare pick on it.
No. There was a couple every once in a while something would happen on like the outskirts of our group.
Right, yeah.
But we still were like kind of definitely the outcasts. Like I know what
feels
like.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Yeah. But we want it to be, so.
Yeah.
We didn't want to be.
We'd fucking, yeah, we wouldn't take anybody's shit.
Take no prisoners, take no shit.
Now that's
metal.
Plus, we knew some crazy motherfuckers too. Though.
Oh yeah,
but you definitely can relate to that, and it was that period too, where the PMRC and all that shit,
right?
Was because they also had the singer, the Chris Angel looking motherfucker. He was on TV before he died, and he was talking to like, you know, some kind of a Senate council thing, and he was talking about
right.
We have the right to make the music that, you know.
Yeah.
Kind of like the Dee Snider thing.
But not as good.
Yeah.
Yeah. But.
But. So it's a little, nice little time capsule kind of a movie. Like.
Yeah, it definitely
I
was.
Remember all the backwards messages and all that shit. And, I mean, it was all bullshit, but I mean.
Yeah.
It was fun to watch a movie. It was kind of like that Dungeons and Dragons movie with Tom Hanks. Sort of.
Oh,
yeah. How they were like, oh, it's dangerous. And,
yeah.
You know.
Like, it is none of that.
Yeah. I mean, it's better than that, though, I think. But that same kind of, like, cautionary tale of...
Right,
yeah. Oh.
So, did you have any goods?
Well, Ozzy, and then the lady that played Large Marge was...
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And she got sucked through a TV, like, the guy...
Burnt.
Yeah, she, like, just turned into, like, a cinder.
Yeah. Yeah, that was cool.
I was like, Large Marge... And the rocker dude, he gave all these looks. He always was like he's really intense. Yeah. It reminded me, this is going to be an old reference. I don't know if he's going to get this, but it reminds me of fucking Carol Burnett, which she used to play. oh, what was her character? Remember when she used to play that actress? You know what I'm talking about, though, right? Yeah. But she just always was just shooting these crazy fucking looks. And he just kept doing it, and it was fucking cracking me up.
And I will say, I'll add another good here, although it's a weird, kind of good and kind of nitpicky. So the music in the movie was not any music I would ever want to listen to.
Yeah.
Any bands. But it did have a bit of nostalgia feeling to it.
Yeah. Well, he had like in his room, he had all the posters on his wall.
And- right, yeah.
He had a poster, I think, that I used to have, like an Anthrax one. I was like, oh, should I have that?
Yeah.
I might, I don't know.
And I remember those days, too.
Yeah, it was a nice little...
Yeah, like the music wasn't great, but it was, like, it was...
Yeah, it was a band, Fastway was the main...
Yeah.
Which I think I kind of remember them, but...
I don't really.
I don't think, but... I never listened to them.
Yeah. But it did kind of bring, you know, the feeling back.
I miss those days. They had hair and shit for a moment, even though I looked like Weird Al, so it didn't really fucking matter, but it was mine, damn it.
No, that is
very metal.
All right. So anything else?
No, I think it was, I enjoyed it. I had fun with it.
Well, I did too. So let's get on to the ratings. And as always, here at the Keepers of the Fringe, we have our very own rating system in which a rating of one is a movie that is bad, but it ain't good. And also...
not metal.
And a rating of two is a movie that just, kind of is. Not really good, not really bad, just, whatever. And a rating of three is a movie that's not great, but still manages to be pretty good, entertaining. And a rating of four is a movie that's so bad it's good. And of course, a rating of five is an actual damn good movie. So with that being said, what are we going to give this movie for a rating?
Well, I wish you didn't say the damn good, because I was going to say a five. But when you said it's a damn good movie, that makes me, I'm like, it's not a damn good movie, but I think it's a good movie. I mean, it's on our scale. It's not like a 10, you know. It's a different scale.
Take my advice, Paul. Quit while you're ahead.
You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
So it sounds crazy to give it a 5, but...
It does.
I think it was a good movie. And I don't think it was so bad it was good. I just think it was good. I didn't... I mean, it's not... I mean, it is bad, but... I don't know. I'm saying 5. I'm going with it. I know you're going to probably disagree with me, but that's fine.
I sure am. I will say 3.5.
3.5?
3.5. It wasn't great, but I really enjoyed it.
That's probably our biggest
difference. Yeah, it probably is.
You bastard.
He's alive!
You chintzy bastard. Just can't be popping those fives out. You gotta save them for the fucking good stuff.
Damn right. I'm gonna save them for damn good movies.
I don't know. It was really working for me right now.
I enjoyed it, but I wouldn't like.
Yeah, that's.
I mean, good. The last movie we watched was a five. In the Mouth of Madness. That was a fucking five.
That was a fucking five.
That was a fucking five. That boy, not a fucking five.
Yeah. Well, I don't think of five being a great movie, even though we're saying I think it's a good movie. See, I get messed up because when I think it's so bad, it's good. I'm not picturing this exactly because it was serviceable. I mean, it wasn't like, wow, this is terrible, but it's good.
No, I'm going to change my thing. I'm going to give it a four.
Oh, I thought you were going to go lower.
No, I gave it a four. For me, it was so bad, it's good.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. There we go, folks.
4.5.
A little different, but a 4.5 for us.
Yeah, I don't know. I was really enjoying it right now.
Well, you know.
I mean, I've seen it.
Each their own. That's fine.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. I guess. Anyway, so
on our scale, if it was like a real like,
all
a,
right, we get it.
You know what I'm saying?
Fine,
it wouldn't be a five.
You don't have to keep defending it.
I'm just saying, okay.
It's whatever you want.
Our
it to
scale
be.
Is
it's
different.
No problem. There you go. You want to put it a five?
Like, I don't think it deserves to be on five. The top 50 list of greatest horror movies.
Yeah, of anything.
Yeah. I'm giving it a five anyway. It definitely should be above.
Okay.
It follows.
Are you done? Are you done?
No.
Can I finish?
Okay.
Can I finish? Are you done?
Yep.
Can I finish? All right. So there you go. There's our rating on that one. We both enjoyed it in different ways, but we both enjoyed it. So that's going to do it for our very special Halloween episode of The Keepers of the Fringe. So as always, thank you for listening. And, just remember, I'm trying to get back on track. I lost my track. Anyway, he's Chris. I'm Derek. We are the Keepers of the Fringe. And in the immortal words of Eric Cartman,
great, you guys. I'm going home.
Good night, everybody. Happy Halloween.
Good night.
Have a safe holiday. And don't take any candy from, well, you kind of have to. Scratch that part. Take all the candy from strangers, but make sure you check it and say it's not open and everybody says it's good. And then enjoy it and then have a nice day and a nice night too.
Good night. Happy Halloween. Everybody.
Be safe.
Be safe.
Movies.
That's a good start.